Ross Molin Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to episode 194 of the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP194, presented by Bolin Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, here, as always, with the artist formerly known as Intern AJ, regular AJ. What's good?
What's up? Saturday podcast.
Saturday!
Very different.
Ooh-ooh.
I like it, though.
That's the closest I can do to the ludicrous, it's Saturday. That's all I got. But it's a great song. We're also here with my little brother, Sam Bolin, today.
What is up?
What's up? Your first podcast ever.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, Sammy's in town. We're going to a show tonight. We're going to go see, what's the name of this band?
Local Natives.
It's one of y'all's favorites?
Yeah.
One of you and Lindsay's favorites? I'm unfamiliar. One of their songs was played for me yesterday, and it was very good. Yeah, I'm excited for the show. Live music at one of my favorite venues in town, actually. Stubbs in Austin.
Great food also.
It is good barbecue for sure. Decent barbecue, I would say. And it's acceptable barbecue, I would say. But it's an incredible venue for music. It's my favorite music venue maybe that I've ever been to.
Wow.
But I have not been to like Red Rocks in Colorado, and I'm only counting intimate venues.
I really like Emo's.
Emo's is tight.
I saw a Childish Gambino there. Like when he first was like starting to blow up.
No
shit.
This is
like very much in his like peak prime.
Oh man, I'm trying to remember the name of this place that I saw Frank Ocean at in Austin before he blew up. And it no longer exists, but it was this tiny venue. And Taylor and I went on like one of our first dates. And it was like not, I guess, how do I put this? She was not used to the crowd the way that I was used to the crowd. It was just like, it was not her element. It was my element and my music, and it was just fucking, it was unbelievable, though. He was a Grammy Award winner, like, the next year, and we saw him in this little-ass venue that no longer even exists. It was
badass.
Dude, those
shows are the best.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I love those intimate shows.
Dude, there's nothing like a good musical performance in a great venue.
Yeah, especially Frank Ocean. I feel like that'd be sweet.
Dude, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Because very few people can carry themselves on stage with the kind of gusto that dude does.
And he's oddly a very quiet, reserved guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I guess my personal anecdote for the day, for all the non-skippers to say thank you for not skipping through the intro, is that my little brother Sam is here. Sam is in the house. Sam's 5 years younger than me. He lives in Houston. Like I said, he's just in town for the weekend. He holds down H-Town with the rest of my family. We're going to Local Natives. What else? What should people know about you? Oh, I couldn't help but notice over the last couple hours since you got up this morning that you don't have chicken legs, Sam.
Yeah, I was. Some of y'all know, obviously, Ross has chicken legs, and I was blessed by our mom to not have chicken legs. So
yeah, y'all heard from my mom last week. Sam got my mom's legs.
Yeah, big shouts to mom. I don't have chicken legs. I have normal size legs.
Which is the weird thing about that is that the chicken legs do come from mom's side of the family.
Yeah, but you got screwed and got dad's legs, so.
No. That's the thing. I didn't get dad's legs. Dad doesn't have as bad of chicken legs as I do. Dad has more normal legs than I do.
That's true.
I have like Aunt Bev, Aunt Liz legs.
Correct.
Which is weird. But whatever the case, you have large, normal human legs. If you're picturing, like, oh, what does Sam look like? I know what Ross looks like. Picture me with normal, bulky man legs and then, like, 40 pounds of muscle. And that's Sam. Like, yeah, I talked when my mom was on about how I told people how we used to get two boxing gloves.
Yeah.
And I would put one on my left hand.
Yep.
And you would take the right one, and I'd get on my knees, and we'd beat the shit out of each
other. That was a good age gap, too.
I can't do that anymore.
Right.
It wouldn't work
out
well.
Dude, you'd get rocked.
Yeah.
No,
I'd get knocked out immediately.
They'd have to put me in the blue tent with concussion protocol almost immediately. That would not go in my favor these days. So, no, things have changed. The turntables.
Yeah.
You're the little brother now.
How Michael Scott would say. Yeah, I'm the little brother now. Definitely the smaller person.
I am the captain now.
That is for fucking sure. Yeah, look at me.
I am the captain.
I am the captain now.
Hey, I have a quick personal anecdote.
What, AJ?
Just something we could talk about real fast.
No worries. We'll just bump our sponsor.
This is a Canada-related episode, so I just wanted to say a couple things pertaining to Drake.
Okay.
First, he came out with two new songs today.
Drake.
Yeah, which I don't even know if you guys are fans or if you even heard him.
I think we both qualify as Drake fans.
Correct.
At least on a level.
So I listened to him. They're pretty good. I just wanted to make the point that his marketing plan is working out perfectly so far, because I didn't know that he also had that show on HBO that's about to come out soon.
What is it, Euphoria?
Yeah, with the 30 penises.
Yeah, that dude, he just put up money for that, though.
Do you know anything about that show, by the way?
It looks like it's going to be lots of penises. That's all I know.
I know Zendaya.
I said it was the most penises on screen since Eurotrip, apparently, is what we're looking
Holy
at
moly.
Here.
I mean, that's what piqued my interest.
30-plus penises on screen.
The world record.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's all I got. I just wanted to bring
Here's
that up.
Here's a headline from the Washington Post. Euphoria has many penises, Zendaya, and very few new ideas. I don't know what that means.
You're already bashing the show. It didn't even
many penises.
Air yet.
No, it's going to be a controversial one, though. I saw a quote that said it was going to make, what was that show about suicide on Netflix that all the teenagers watched?
13 Reasons Why?
Yeah, 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
It was going to make 13 Reasons Why look like Sesame Street or something like that. Oh, that's good.
I'm definitely going
to
watch it.
That's a lot of dick. It takes a lot of dick to make 13 Reasons Why look like Sesame Street. That was a weird show. But what else about Drake? That's it? Euphoria? Yep.
So the songs are good, though?
Yeah, it's two songs.
You've heard them both?
Yeah.
I haven't listened to this shit yet.
One of them features Rick Ross.
Is it actually good?
Yeah, no. I'm not the biggest fan of him.
Okay.
So if his music is not good, I'll acknowledge it.
You're not a Drake stan.
No, not at all. But I listen to his music, and I'll openly admit if he comes out with something that's not good.
Like, what's your favorite Drake song?
Ooh, I don't know, man. It's hard to pick one.
He's got a lot of hits.
As I'm saying, like, his catalog is just, I couldn't even pinpoint.
Is it God's Plan, AJ?
No.
That's good.
If anything, it'll be something from one of his earlier albums.
Yeah.
Just because it's more like, I don't know, it just makes me think of like high school.
Are you a huge Best I Ever Had fan?
Nah, not that though.
Oh.
It's a little too early.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Though I did like the stuff he was doing with Lil Wayne when he was very much still with Young Money.
Yeah. If you go back and listen to some of like the old school Drake, the underground stuff before he had a label or like a deal, some of that stuff that he was doing with Wayne and shit.
Yeah.
Man, this dude had some cheesy fucking lines. He still does, but like.
Oh, back then, very much so.
Bro, it was like Nickelodeon rap.
I didn't mean to cut you off. What happened to Young Money, by the way?
Well.
Like, obviously we know.
A lot.
Obviously we know who survived from that clique, so, but what happened to everybody else? Because there was like 12 people in that faction.
The very unusual story of Young Money cannot be told without telling the story, of course, Cash Money, Young Money, right? And Birdman, who was like Lil Wayne's adopted father or whatever that weird situation is. All I know is that there's pictures of them on the internet kissing on the mouth, which I find to be strange.
Can't delete those.
Yeah.
Now, no judgment, whatever, but I'm just saying. You don't kiss your adopted rap son on the mouth. That's weird. Birdman and Lil Wayne got into a bit of a legal turmoil, AJ.
I'm aware.
It blew up their whole shit. That's what happened to Young Money. That's what happened to Cash Money. That's what happened to that whole fucking place. It's all legal hell now.
Well, rest in peace to all the rappers that didn't make it out of that.
That were on that label?
There was a bunch of them, too.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. No, bad looks. Very bad. All bad things. RBP 194 is brought to you by Lisa. Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life. Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you. And to Lisa, a bed is more than just a place to sleep. It's a place for relaxation and rest. All Lisa products have been thoughtfully designed to go beyond creating a comfortable bed, to transform your bedroom into a sanctuary you actually want to spend time in. And that's what a Lisa will do. For real, their most advanced luxury hybrid mattress is what I have. It's made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. It's incredible. Thoughtfully designed with the best of both worlds. And Lisa believes all people should have access to deep rest and relaxation. As such, they make it easy for their customers to know they've made the right choice through their social impact initiatives tied to each purchase. They donate one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. And to date, they've donated more than 33,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits. Lisa mattresses are made in the USA. In-home delivery and setup is available, as well as financing if you need it. Don't pay for the whole thing up front if you don't want to. Don't miss out. RBP gang, live healthier, live happier, rest deeper. Order today and get 15% off any mattress for a limited time at lisa.com/RBP. Use the promo code RBP, that's LEESA.com/RBP, promo code RBP. Keep in mind, you also get a 100-night risk-free trial, plus free shipping and returns. If you're new to our show, the Ross Bowling Podcast, almost every episode is broken down into segments, which you can find below with time cues in the description. That way, if you need to skip around or you want to consume the show in 15-minute chunks, or I don't know what your commute looks like or how much of the day you get to spend sitting at your desk listening to our beautiful voices, the point is you can consume, listen, and enjoy at your own pace as life dictates. Now, some episodes are going to have special guests. If we have like some fucking scientist in here, we don't have a scientist today. You're not a scientist, are you?
I'm not a scientist.
Not a scientist, but if we had a scientist, perhaps we would just let him talk about whatever he wanted. It'd be more conversational than it would be segmented. So there are going to be exceptions to the rule, but you'll figure it out as you go. You don't have to have listened to any of the preceding 193 episodes of this show in order to enjoy RBP 194, but if you like the show, go back. There are 193 backlogged episodes for you to soak in and enjoy whenever you've got the time. Have at it. Follow us on Instagram. At the Ross Bowling Podcast. Every day we fill up our story with photos and videos sent in by you guys, the listeners, the RBP gang. I collect most of those photos and videos through my Snapchat at WRBowling on Snapchat at WRBOLEN. Again, at the Ross Bowling Podcast on Instagram. We're also on Twitter at Ross Bowling Pod, where you're going to see a lot of the same stuff you see on Instagram, but Twitter is more of a conversational platform. Lends itself to back and forth more than Instagram does, so we converse and have a lot of interaction with our listeners on Twitter that we don't necessarily have on Instagram. We're also on Facebook somewhere. Facebook sucks balls. Announcements. I only have one. Well, sort of. I have one and a half announcements. Today's episode is going to be entirely Canada-themed to congratulate Canada, our neighbors to the north, particularly the people of Toronto and the Toronto Raptors organization and their fans, on their first NBA championship, saving us all from another Boston championship parade. Can we hear it for Toronto?
Hit the applause button.
Do we have a light applause?
Dude, that's what we need. We need a soundboard for like sound effects.
I want a hype horn, an applause button. Mike, are you hearing this? Mike, a hype horn, an applause button. What other sound effects do we need?
Gunshots.
I want a cow.
Yeah.
One of the buttons I press and it just goes. And everyone's like,
that's pretty spot on.
Why is there a cow?
Yeah.
I'm actually secret, sneaky good at effects. Animal noises. For real. It's very strange. You want to hear a horse?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see if I can nail this. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all right.
27 years of life.
I don't know how that's going to translate to podcast.
Yeah. And maybe you don't need one. Maybe you just make the noises
but
yourself.
But in the room, it was a solid horse.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just saying, I don't know how it'll translate to the big screen. Also, shouts to St. Louis for doing the same, saving us from another Boston championship parade in hockey.
No shouts to St. Louis.
Why?
Because I wanted Boston to win.
What are you, a Bruins fan?
No, but St. Louis beat Dallas, dude. I'm not for any team that beats Texas team.
AJ, that's not how it works. Sometimes you want the team that beat your team to win
because
it makes your team look better.
Correct.
And in this case, I would argue...
Yeah, but you weren't rooting for the Warriors.
No, that's true.
I got you right there.
There are exceptions to the rule. That's very, very true. But you don't give a fuck about hockey, do you? Enough to root against the team that took out the team you were rooting for?
No, you're right. I guess it is kind of silly. I'm not a huge hockey fan at all. I watch it casually, so.
Yeah.
I probably have no say in this, really.
That's how I am. I watch it casually during the playoffs. I'm saying is that at all costs, you should be rooting against Boston as a sports area, unless you're from Boston or New England or whatever.
Yeah, they win too much.
What is New England?
What do you mean, what is it?
As an area. What does it encompass? Do you know?
No idea.
This is a serious question.
Boston, obviously.
I don't think most people know. Nobody's going to answer? Nothing?
No.
You got nothing? Listen to this shit. Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island.
So they just get all that. So all of them.
Oh, that's all New England?
That's New England.
Huh.
It's a northeastern region
of New England.
The United States with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fucking states in it. What is that? It's weird. I don't like that situation.
Well, New England Patriots. They all can't get their own team.
No, but it bugs me out. Like,
so it doesn't make sense to kind of like condense them all into like one area and they have one team that they root for?
Conceptually.
You don't want each of them to have their own team. That would just be unnecessary.
It would be weird, for sure. I get it, conceptually. But it bugs me out like it's like the Texas Rangers thing. Like, you're not actually the Texas Rangers.
You're the
Arlington Rangers. Yeah. Right? Arlington, not Dallas. Arlington. Did we even start a segment?
I have an announcement.
Oh, what's that?
It's just that tomorrow is Father's Day. So
tomorrow is Father's Day.
Shout out to all the dads if you're listening to this on Saturday.
Shouts to all the poppies. Is that what you're saying? Not the mommies?
I don't want to call them poppies.
Okay. You don't have to.
I'm not Puerto Rican.
I've already done that for you. I've provided the poppy already so that you wouldn't have to. It's a sacrifice that I made for you, AJ.
You're not even saying it right.
Poppy.
It's like poppy.
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 It's P-A-P-I.
Yeah, definitely.
How do you spell mommy?
M-A-M-I.
Okay.
Unless you're talking about your actual mother.
Then how do you spell it?
M-O-M-M-Y.
Thank you.
Very distinct difference.
I'm glad that we've clarified this for everybody.
You don't refer to your actual mother as mommy, M-A-M-I. That's very weird.
It's like it's
not
a good
look. Ever do that. It's M-A-M-I is a sexual version of it that you spread for actual mommies.
Mommies.
And then your mommy is M-O-M-M-Y.
Do you still call your mom mommy? Never did.
If I called my mom mommy at 31, I'd be real worried.
I don't think it's that bad. I mean, I feel like a lot of people...
Bro, you can't call your mom mommy beyond like 9.
Yeah, I don't think I ever called mom mommy.
If you got to 4th grade and you still said mommy, people were like, what's wrong with this mother?
You'd get roasted, for sure.
That's when you got on the serial killer chart warning chart list. They're like, all right.
Teachers started looking.
Weird.
I could see you at dinner like, mommy, can I get some more apple juice?
Mommy, I'm hungry.
You're 9. What the fuck do you mean, mommy, you're hungry? Go make a sandwich. Get a job.
You're making sandwiches at 9 years old?
Loser. No, I still can't
get a job.
I still can't even make a sandwich, man. Any amends? Sorry to all the people we've offended so far.
Yeah, they all left already.
That's okay, though, as long as you're Canadian. If you're Canadian and you're here, you're going to like today's show. That I can promise you. First segment. Let's learn about Canada. I'm going to just give us facts. I'm not joking. I don't know a lot about Canada as a country, as a people. Yeah. Canadians, I don't know much.
I don't know a lot of Canadians.
Let's say the things we know. I know they make maple syrup. To some degree, it's important to them.
Yep.
Because their maple leaf is their flag and shit and their symbol. I know they're friendly. They're notoriously a friendly people. Nice. Yeah. I know they say about instead of about.
Fair.
I know they say eh to end a lot of sentences. I know that Oh Canada slaps.
Yeah.
It's a fucking great national anthem. I know that they're the NBA world champions at the moment, which is...
Actual world champions because they're a whole nother country.
It's the
first
time. So
they can actually make that claim.
Yeah.
First time that really makes sense to say.
Yeah.
What else? That's kind of it. It's cold.
Very cold.
Lots of snow. And then Drake, of course, we know Drake. They've got Biebs. They've got quite a few celebrities.
Big rap sheet,
which is actually more than I expected. We're going to talk about the most famous Canadians in a little bit, but all in all, I don't know too much about Canada, and there's reasons for that. I'll give you one of them. 90% of the land is actually uninhabited. 90% of Canada—that's
a lot.
Uninhabited. To put that into perspective, the country is only a little bit larger than the U.S. But it has 11% of America's population only. That's crazy. It's actually the second largest country in the world. Only Russia has a larger land area. Because you think of Russia, you know.
I was going to say just landmass.
Same reason, though. Like, a lot of Russia is uninhabited and frozen and miserable. But Canada's fucking huge. 3 million lakes. 3 million lakes. Lakes.
That's a lot.
You said 3 million?
They got 3 million lakes, man.
How's that even possible?
Yeah.
Too many lakes.
That's way too many lakes.
The lake love.
There's like a lake every couple miles.
Hogging the lakes.
They're probably all frozen, too.
That's more lakes than the rest of the world has combined.
That's a lot.
Is that why they're so good at hockey? Yeah. All the water is frozen.
All those,
yeah. They can practice anywhere.
All those frozen lakes, you better learn how to ice skate. You can't get anywhere unless you ice skate.
Yeah.
Jeez. They have 20% of the world's fresh water as a result of all them lakes.
Yeah, I was going to say. Makes sense.
If we get in a fresh water situation, I think we're already in one.
Gotta go to Canada.
Canada's the place to go.
Aquafina is going to relocate to Canada.
Aquafina. Is that the one that got busted for just putting tap water? I'm pretty sure it is. The world's first landing pad for a UFO was built in St. Paul, Alberta, Canada.
What do you mean landing pad?
Like, they were like, we want to be prepared if the aliens come.
So just in case.
At least we built you a landing pad, is what they're saying. Don't go anywhere else. Come here. We have a landing pad for you. Land here, make friends with us, and then go kill all the Americans.
So have any UFOs landed on it?
I don't think so.
I would assume
that, has that been recorded at all? Or?
No, I think we would have been told. If aliens landed in Canada and presented themselves to the humans, to the Canucks, as they're called sometimes, Canucks, that's a nickname for Canadian. It's nice to have a nickname that you can say that's not racially insensitive. I believe you're allowed to say Canuck no matter where you're from.
I was going to say, like, almost sounds racist, though.
It sounds like something that would be like a racial slur.
It sounds more racist and offensive than some racist words.
Yeah, 100%.
Canucks. Just say it. It feels wrong.
Yeah.
Wow. But it's the name of a hockey team.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're certainly allowed to say it. Canucks. You like that?
Yeah, they're rolling with it.
Yeah, it's nice. 37 million people in Canada. Not very many at all. Not nearly as many as you would have imagined. I imagined way more. That's not very many. Capital is Ottawa. Biggest city, Toronto.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Where they won their ship. Their highest mountain is Mount Logan. Nobody cares. Their biggest lake is Great Bear Lake.
That's kind of tight.
Yeah. There's an asterisk. It's the biggest lake that entirely the whole thing is within Canada.
Okay.
So the Great Lakes that are on the border,
like heaven, yeah.
They don't count.
Right.
They don't count. Their national day, like ours, is July 4th. Theirs is the 1st of July, actually.
Okay.
Is that Boxing Day?
No, that's...
Is that what that is?
That's the British. Don't the British do that?
I might have the toilet.
I think Boxing Day is the one where they box up all their shit from Christmas and throw it in the attic or whatever in England. That's like their favorite holiday.
What was that thing in Canada?
Boxing Day. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking up what this Canadian day is called real quick because I'm curious. It's just called Canada Day.
Okay.
Really fucking creative.
Really
there,
went
Canadians.
Out there with it.
What do we call it? They celebrate with the same shit we do, though. Fireworks, parades, barbecues, concerts, carnivals, fairs, and picnics.
And good alcohol. Stuff.
And booze. And pot now. That. They got that legal.
Oh, yeah, it is very much legal over there.
Smoking. Back home, smoking legal. I got more slaps than a beetle. That's it. No more lyrics from Drake today. Prime Minister's name is Justin Trudeau. Trudeau?
Yeah, I heard he's a pretty stand-up guy.
Not to be confused with Justin Thoreau, who is... former husband of Jennifer Aniston, star of HBO's The Leftovers, and many other things. Oh, if you were wondering, I know a lot of people listening are like, man, you know, the question that's really bugging me is Canada part of NATO? And the answer is yes.
Thank you for clearing.
You're welcome.
I mean, yeah, they're part of North America.
What do you think?
So.
What's the name? Okay, you can't look it up. What's the name? What's Canadian money called? Sam, go.
No idea.
AJ, go.
I don't know.
Canadian dollars.
Isn't it like really colorful?
CAD.
Like, Canadian. Don't they have dollar bills? They're like in like blue, pink, green, orange.
I think every, they got all these crazy ass, fuck it. They got gold, red, green on the 20.
Yeah, those are way cooler.
10 on the purple 10, the 5 is blue. Our money sucks ass.
Yeah.
That's the thing when you start to travel that you realize, like, God damn, our money's trash.
I don't even carry, like, cash on me anymore.
Nobody does.
No. What does a dollar even look like anymore? I just use my debit card for everything.
It looks like George Washington's big ass head. That's what it looks like. But yeah, their money's just called Canadian dollars, and it's beautiful, like all the rest of the world's money. True. We started to catch up with our paper design like 10 years ago, and we're still so far behind.
Like when they made the new 20s and stuff?
Yeah,
they made
them cool looking. Hundreds, yeah. And we started implementing all the new security features on them, where you can hold them up and see like, you know, the swastika in the background or whatever all we've hit on the fucking dollar bill at this point. It's like just horrible shit from American history and from world history. Fucking A. Oh, last thing about Canada that we're going to learn for this segment. Huge populations of bears in Canada. All that open area, the fucking mountains and such. Black bears, grizzly bears, Kermode bears. We've talked about so many different types of bears over the course of this show and made many different bears our animal of the week. We're going to do another one today, though, because they have polar bears in abundance. But that's actually not going to be the next thing we talk about. Next segment, biggest Canadian contributions to society. We're going to talk about the polar bear later, though. So don't forget about the polar bear. I'm just saying. Okay, this is crazy. So we're going to get into the things that Canada or Canadian inventors or Canadian citizens have provided the world with, right? First off, this one, it's only right that it's first. James Naismith, the man who invented basketball, he's a Canadian.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that until they said it after after Toronto won the...
Now, Americans, we attempt to group him in with our invention.
Try to lump it in?
No. He's a Canadian-American. He was born in Canada. He moved to America. Naismith is Canadian. Technically, Canadians invented the sport of basketball.
Hey, wait a second. What about back in like the colonial days? Wasn't there a story where somebody was throwing like peaches into a basket?
Yeah,
and then somebody was like, hey, we should call this basketball.
Yeah, that was Naismith. And it was in Canada. No, he invented it in
America.
Shows
how much I know.
But he's Canadian, is the point. Without him, at the age of 30 in 1891, we don't have basketball.
One of the greatest sports in the world.
Yep.
Yeah. He wrote the original basketball rule book and founded the University of Kansas basketball program, Naismith. And he was a Canadian. Credit to Canada.
You said University of Kansas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's random.
They're still good at basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Plexiglass was made practical by a man named William Chalmers, who basically invented the scientific method to make plexiglass more practical, which is boring. A process for extracting medicinal insulin was invented by a Canadian, or at least one of the three people who invented it was Canadian. I'd say this. In all the research I did to find Canadian contributions to society, the area that they slacked, science and medicine. Not a lot of scientists.
Nothing?
Not a lot of medicine.
Hmm.
Which is, I don't know, it's not that I expected Canada to, like, kick ass in medicine, just, like, a glaring lack of it, really. This is, like, the only two fun ones where that they made the process for extracting insulin, and that's kind of it.
Well, it is kind of odd because Canada is actually one of the most educated countries in the world.
I
remember we discussed that on a previous episode.
Extremely highly educated country.
I think second in the world, actually.
But doing science is boring, so frankly, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, here's another one. First practical electron microscope was built by, at least one of them was Canadian, Arthur Priebus. What a terrible name. In 1939.
Priebus?
Here's some more sports shit, though. Lacrosse was codified by a Canadian named William George Beers around 1860. I think they're hesitant to give the credit to a Canadian because they jacked this from the natives. The natives.
So that guy's last name was Beers?
Beers.
Sweet.
William George Beers.
That is a name right
coded
there.
Coded lacrosse. How about that?
Yeah.
Ice hockey they invented, of course.
Yeah,
come on.
It's kind of a given.
They invented the hard jockstrap cup.
Oh, wow.
That's an important contribution.
It is an important... How is it that no one before... A Canadian was like, well, these fucking idiots in America.
Everyone's just getting hit in the balls all the time. We got to do something about this.
Got to protect our dick and balls with hard plastic, and we've got to do it now.
Yeah.
The instant replay was invented for Canada.
That's another big one.
CBC's Hockey Night in Canada, all the way back in 1955. And now it's ruining all of our sports.
Yeah.
Now there's nothing worse than a replay in baseball where you're like, oh, this isn't supposed to exist.
Right.
This isn't supposed to exist at all, where a guy's out at first by, fucking hair of his literally a hair on the end of his shoe that's touching the bag before the, or not before the runner, or the ball gets there, I guess. The first widely used military gas mask was introduced by Clooney McPherson. That's a Canadian person. So you're welcome for the gas mask if you're big on those. Especially, you know how you ever smoked weed out of a gas mask?
I don't smoke weed at all.
No. Well, I haven't either. Out of a gas mask. I never have. But I always...
I remember the bong hookup?
Yeah. You remember that one dude before the NFL draft that video came out of him hitting a fucking gas mask bong?
Yeah.
Yeah. The snowblower they invented in 1927, Arthur Sicard. They needed it.
Big time.
The snowmobile also.
Also makes sense.
The first wheelchair accessible bus. Not the first wheelchair, but the first wheelchair accessible bus, which is huge. Maybe Bran was Canadian. Also the first electric wheelchair.
Yeah.
Huge on wheelchairs.
Yeah.
The Canadians killing it. The IMAX movie system. You ever been to an IMAX movie?
Oh yeah. Once you go to one, you never want to go to like a regular theater again.
I know it's on your sheet. We'll talk about John Wick later, but I saw John Wick 3 in IMAX.
Ooh.
I'll tell you to wait it, but it was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen.
There is nothing like seeing an intense action movie in an IMAX theater. It will get you.
The first time I ever saw The Dark Knight was also in IMAX.
Me too.
Oh. I was like 15 or whenever that came out. That was still incredible.
Actually, I did not see it in IMAX. I'm incorrect. This lovely young lady that one of my best friends was dating had planned this birthday getaway in San Antonio. We were all in San Marcos, Texas at Texas State University at the time. Shouts to AJ and all the mommies. And she had planned an IMAX. We didn't have an IMAX in San Marcos at the time. I don't know if you do now.
No.
And there is an IMAX in Austin, by the way, which is 30 minutes from San Marcos and would have made a lot of sense to come to Austin. For whatever reason, this young woman planned our trip to San Antonio. We got all the way there, and it turns out she bought the incorrect tickets.
Oh, wow.
We weren't even going to an IMAX, meaning we drove 45 minutes, about an hour and a half both ways, for no fucking reason. And we were four rows back.
Oh,
it was
brutal.
Awful. I did see it later in an IMAX, though. Ironically, I also saw the next one, Dark Knight Rises, in an IMAX with that very same dude whose girlfriend planned the first failed IMAX trip. How about that?
Yeah, it's quite the story.
But I've been to a lot of IMAXes.
Hey, what IMAX are those theaters where it's like an Omni theater, I want to say, where it feels like you're in the middle of the action? Like, you know, where it's like they have different ones where it's like you're on a roller coaster or on like a boat or like a safari something. And like the way you sit in like this Omni shaped theater, and like as the movie is playing it, the way it projects, it's like you're in the movie, like you're in the middle of the action. What? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No.
Yeah. It's like it's almost like the seat moves and stuff too. It sits.
Well,
so
sometimes they do, but like sometimes they don't, but the way it projects, it's like a globe, like it's circular. So the way it projects...
Like a Ferris wheel.
Yeah, the way it projects, it's like the movie is being projected all around you, essentially. So it's like you're in the middle of... You don't know what I'm talking about?
Fuck no. Hell no.
Fuck, that would be badass.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
And just a horribly stressful way to watch a movie.
I went to one in middle school, and like I said, it was one of those, and it was like a safari
type thing. You didn't just take like acid or... This sounds like drugs.
No, dude, there's
dude,
actual...
Dude, bro, you're in the movie.
I think it's called an Omni Theater.
You're in it. What you're making me think of is like a planetarium type of experience where you sit down and they play Pink Floyd and blast some planets up above you or whatever onto a fucking...
Like there's the one in Houston in the museum.
I've been to one of those.
Yeah.
But all in all, IMAX is badass. If every movie could be seen in IMAX, we'd all be better off. Unfortunately, that's just not the case. It's just not how the fuck the cookie crumbles, okay? The Macintosh Red Apple was developed by John Macintosh, a Canadian man. The walkie-talkie was invented, actually, by Donald L. Hings and Alfred J. Gross for military use in 1942. The walkie-talkie.
I'm sure those things were huge, too.
I don't know if I ever used the walkie-talkie.
Not even when you were a little kid? You didn't have, like...
Maybe.
You didn't, like, have one walkie-talkie, and then you gave one to, like, the neighbor's daughter... And then late at night, you'd instead of, this was before sexting, you'd just walkie-talkie each other, and you'd say horrible things.
No, we would get the two cups connected with a string.
Oh, that's how you sexted through the window.
Yeah, because, you know, reverberate through the string.
Yeah. I'm very familiar with cup fucking. That's what they call it. That's what they call it. It's the scientific term for it. The development of the BlackBerry was led by a Canadian guy.
I did have one of those.
Did you ever have a BlackBerry, Sam?
Like the phone?
Yeah, BlackBerry.
No, I did not.
Never had a BlackBerry?
I had.
How long ago was that, by the way? Is it like early in our teenage years, I want to say?
When it was invented?
When it was like commercial, I guess, when they were actually out and we had access to them.
Yeah, let me see. 84 it was invented, but that can't be when like... Okay, so the first BlackBerry phone came out, the BlackBerry 850, 1999.
Okay.
So early 2000s.
We're like middle school.
When did they
get super big though? Like where everybody had a BlackBerry?
Probably 2002. Early to mid 2000s?
2002 is when the first model came out that could properly be called a phone, according to this BBC article I'm looking at. I don't know what properly you would have called the fucking models before that. But yeah, so early 2000s.
Yeah, I think I was coming up on like freshman year of high school or something. So
the first BlackBerry I got was, before this, I was a flip phone guy, right? I was like everybody else, like a Nokia. Then I had a Razor. Like, yeah, I had a Razor at one point as well. Not when it was like the hottest phone in the world, though. Like right after that, it was too expensive.
I had a Sidekick also. Did you ever have one of those?
I don't think I did have a Sidekick.
Those are pretty tight. I heard they're bringing them back. Or they might be back already.
They brought the flip phone back too, but I'm not interested in that shit either. Anyway, so I had all those ones. No iPhone. Was not an iPhone person, not an Apple person. Yeah. Didn't have a Mac. Didn't have a fucking Apple TV that didn't exist. Nothing. The first BlackBerry I got was the BlackBerry Storm.
Yep.
One of the great failures in the history of phone invention. Fucking terrible, this thing.
Is that the one that came with a stylus?
It was the first... No. Thank God. It was the first one. I never had a stylus on any phone ever. Shame on all of you who had stylus. Shame on... Unless you work in social media and your name's Chad and you use like an Apple Pencil for your fucking...
Well, you remember Palm Pilots?
I do.
I had one of those.
You had a Palm Pilot?
No way. Yeah.
What were you selling, like pharmaceutical goods in the 80s as a middle-aged mother?
I don't know, man. I got it as a gift. I was like probably like 10 years old or something, like 9 or 10.
AJ, what psychotic member of your family gave you a Palm Pilot at 10?
I really don't remember.
It's time to get a
job,
AJ.
It was
AJ.
A birthday gift.
Yeah.
It's time to start pulling your weight around the house. Here's your Palm Pilot.
Well, I come from an Asian household, so.
That's true. You guys,
makes sense.
You guys encourage early development.
Manual labor.
Early
manual. Oh, yeah. However you want to put it.
Let's just go ahead and generalize this. All Asian people require early life manual labor from their offspring.
And also, you bring shame to your family until you win an NBA title.
You dishonor.
Shout out to Jeremy Lin.
You dishonor your family. How crazy is it that Jeremy Lin won an NBA title?
It's awesome.
Did you see the video on Twitter? I retweeted it.
Of his highlights?
Yeah.
And bro, I was dying.
It is just him like putting on his armband and dribbling up the court. Because, you know, he never actually played.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
No, they put him in garbage time. He played.
But
not in the finals, though, right?
Not in the what?
The actual finals, like the
Warriors? I'm not sure.
I don't even think so.
No. I know for a fact he got on the court.
I know.
All those highlights are from this series. They're from garbage time.
But it's just hilarious because they made it into like this hype video.
That's awesome.
Of just him just dribbling up the court, and he would dribble between his legs, and they'll zoom in and make
like
it dramatic.
Slow motion dramatic between the legs. The fucking best one is he's dribbling out garbage time, and he's like goes between the legs towards the top of the key, and like sort of loses control of the ball.
Of course.
Which is like what a normal dude at the YMCA going between the legs. That's what happens. You lose control of the ball when you go between your fucking legs. I can't believe he won a trophy. I don't know what to think about like these end of the bench dudes who don't really contribute. When you win an NBA championship,
I always think about that too. Because you have all the greats. Like you think of LeBron, MJ, Kobe, all these guys. But then you think of all the other guys that are on the bench on those teams, and they have just as many rings as they do.
Yep,
that's crazy, right?
You know what's one of the best of those is when Brian Scalabrine played for the Lakers. Have you ever seen that post game? So it's after they won the championship, and he gets asked, you know, what do you think? You didn't really contribute. It's mainly like Kobe and Shaq. And he said, he goes down this rabbit hole of, well, right now, and I didn't really do anything, but I have a ring. And he was like, in 10 years, I can tell my kids I played. And then he was like, something like in 30 years, I'll tell my grandkids I was on the starting five. It's just funny.
Yeah.
He goes down like basically, it doesn't matter. I have the ring, and that's it.
Well, so. See, that's the weird
thing
about
it.
It's
like we talked about before. Like, once you get that ring,
nobody can say shit.
Yeah, then that's it.
But what if you're Jeremy Lin and you didn't really do much?
But
At the same time,
well, no, hold on. Like, with respect to Jeremy Lin, he has been grinding all of his NBA career.
For sure.
So if you factor in everything that he's done leading up to now, I feel like it's well-deserved.
And he also plays against Kyle Lowry and Van Fleet and all those other point guards every day in practice.
Yeah, you know. So essentially he's making them better.
Correct.
Yep.
So
that's where it gets weird, because we judge everything based on championships when it comes to legacy as a professional athlete. And you've got guys like Charles Barkley, like Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone, John Stockton.
Never won, right?
Never got rings, right? I can't believe I named two Utah Jazz players just now. That'll never happen again, Utah. Never got a ring. You're judged off that the rest of your career. And then you can look at dudes like Scalabrine, like Jeremy Lin. They have rings. So what, are they better than Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing?
No.
Fuck no.
Not a chance.
Absolutely not. But it's just the way it goes sometimes, man. It's weird. It's a weird situation. I'll say this. It's fucking tight for guys like Jeremy Lin who get the ring, and then you just get to go back about your business.
Yep.
Like, back to your career. He's not, like, so famous that his life is going to be a living hell like fucking Kevin Durant's is. But
we'll never forget Lin's sanity, though.
Yep. It was wild.
What a weird, weird period of time.
Yeah. It was only like a year. It was like one season, I believe.
Yeah, it was that one season.
Yeah. And it was like a flash in the pan.
It was like 6 weeks of strangeness.
He was just pulling up from Curry range and draining threes and
scoring 35 points a game and shit.
Pumping up the crowd. And
you know who won 7 NBA championships? Robert Horry.
Yeah, but he contributed, though, too.
A fuckload,
Big shot Bob.
Undoubtedly.
But he was always on the good team at the right time.
No, it was just crazy that his career went the way it did.
Rockets and the Spurs and then the Lakers, those whole...
That's funny. You just get traded to different teams and they all end up winning the championship.
He was on the good team at the right time.
Rockets, it's working out perfect for
he
me.
He won on the Lakers. He won on the Spurs. All three of those, he won championships. Fucking nuts. Absolutely nuts. The pager was invented by a Canadian in 1949.
You want to go back and talk about your BlackBerry? Your click BlackBerry?
Yeah, it was awful.
So I remember, I guess, man, I had to be 15 or 16.
When
maybe?
I got it?
When you got it.
No, it was before that. I wasn't 20 years old.
It was the click-in one?
It was the first touchscreen BlackBerry. Yes, it was the click-in one.
Yeah.
But it was the first touchscreen. I was picking between an iPhone and the BlackBerry touchscreen because they finally had a touchscreen.
Right.
And I had never been a BlackBerry guy. I'd never had one of the old school roly ball BlackBerries. I just had the shitty flip phones and whatnot.
Yeah, the rolly ball ones.
So, I get all hyped on this BlackBerry Storm. I purchase it, or I ask for it for Christmas, rather, and it shows up. And I think you went the other way and got an iPhone.
Because that's when I got an iPhone. That's what I'm saying.
And I had convinced myself I made the right decision.
Yep.
And it was awful.
Because I remember you told me even, because you had an iPod Touch.
Yeah.
You were like, this is the best thing ever invented.
Those are great. I had one of those.
And you were like, I'm going to tape it to the back of my BlackBerry. It's going to be the best invention. I was like, you know what? An iPhone just came out. You could get one of these.
The BlackBerry Storm was such a fucking massive disappointment. I would argue it was the thing that broke the back of BlackBerry as a company, even though they're still around. The 56K modem was invented by a Canadian. Can we insert a 56K modem sound effect here? I'm tempted to click and make Mike do. I'm not going to. Sonar, invented by Canadian. The alkaline battery as well.
Oh, that's a big one.
That is a big one.
Here's a huge one for trash. The garbage bag was invented by a Canadian in 1950.
Holy moly.
That's probably the biggest contribution.
Yeah.
This is what's confusing to me.
The trash bag.
The pager was invented in 1949. You're telling me the trash bag was invented in 1950?
So they just rolled with the cans and no bags? Like, how did they do that?
What were they doing before that? Yeah. Where are they putting their trash in?
That's what I'm saying, fam. I'm very confused about these numbers here. Somebody
is that piles of trash just laying around,
like
throw it into the pile?
In the early 40s, was Canada, the whole world, just covered in trash
just
still?
Burning
but some
trash,
guy
maybe?
Named Alfred Gross was in his basement working on making a pager. And then a year later, somebody was like, God, we should really come up with a way to store all this trash.
Now we got a pager, we can tell each other how much, we got to figure this whole trash thing out.
Somebody send Alfred a page and tell him we need to invent something to store this trash. But no, it was a guy named Harry Wasilick.
These guys got some solid names, though, for sure.
If you're in construction, or you have a home, or you've ever used caulk, the caulking gun was invented by a Canadian in 1894.
It's a big one.
So was the cardiac cardiac pacemaker. The thing that you insert when you have heart problems to make sure your shit beeps correctly or
keeps it going.
Very important.
The electric oven, and then finally the egg carton that carries eggs. What an invention.
Yeah.
Are you a big egg guy, by the way?
I am a big egg guy.
I don't think we ever talked about eggs, but you eat eggs in the morning, right?
Sometimes. Certainly when I'm I often go to restaurants and order breakfast. I almost always get eggs. I'm huge on migas. Scrambled eggs are my jam.
Yeah.
Breakfast tacos.
What's your favorite form of egg?
Like, scramble. How do I prepare them?
If you wanted them for breakfast.
So I scramble them, but it's like a lazy man scramble because I used to just whisk them in a bowl.
Okay.
But nowadays, like, I realize if you just crack them into the pan and just break them up with the spatula, and just kind of swirl them around.
It's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, then they come out just fine.
Okay.
The lazy man scramble.
Okay. Yeah, because it just saves me from cleaning one less dish.
I'm definitely a scrambled eggs person.
Yep.
Do you put anything
on them? Like, do you put any toppings on your egg?
Yeah. Salt, pepper, all of the hot sauces that exist in the world. Cholula.
As long as you didn't say ketchup, thank God.
Fuck no. I mean, if we were like in a jail situation and we had some eggs and some ketchup, I'd probably put some ketchup on there. But we're not. I'm just saying, if I was in jail and you gave me eggs and ketchup, I'd fucking combine the two because the eggs are probably disgusting.
Yeah. If I was in jail and you gave me any food, I would eat it.
No, I'm telling you, AJ, you would want that ketchup.
I forgot, you know, from experience.
You're going to want that flavor because the food's disgusting. Awful. Now we're going to do the animal of the week.
And now, Russ Boland's animal of the week.
The animal of the week this week, the polar bear, as I mentioned. Did you know polar bears are actually black?
Like all of them?
Like, they're black.
Do they turn white?
They have black skin.
But they have...
Oh, like underneath the fur.
I'm not fucking with you.
Like, they put on the fur and then they take it off at night.
Yes. When they enter their igloos, they derobe and they're actually black dudes underneath each polar bear.
So they're part of Year of the Robe?
A black guy from Ohio. Under each polar bear.
Wow.
Why does he have to be from Ohio?
They actually do have black skin, though. No shit. And hollow, colorless hair. But their hollow fur reflects light and traps the sun's heat.
Gotcha.
To help keep them warm.
Gotcha.
And obviously they got white, giant white fur coats as a result. You know how fast polar bears can run, dude?
What's that?
25 miles an hour.
That's pretty fast.
25.
Dude.
For a bear.
For the size of these things... That's terrifying.
That's moving.
They get going, dude.
If you saw a bear running at you 25 miles an hour...
Polar bears will destroy you.
Yeah, literally run through you.
Destroy you. If you saw a polar bear in public, this is not like situation. This is like it's time to hide.
Yeah, get the hell out of there.
Don't even climb a tree. That's not going to be helpful.
She's going to come get you.
Do you think
they're
the most dominant species of bear?
Ooh. Polar
Probably
bears,
a good question, because I always think of grizzly bears.
Definitely not in terms of survival. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like...
In terms of, like, if you were to have... I think my two that I would have face off would be,
Yeah, I guess that was my question. If you had to face off against a bear, what would you prefer?
I think polar bear and grizzly bear are the two that I would have battled to be king of the bears.
Put them in a UFC ring and let them go at it?
Exactly. That being said, it's not a fight to the death. We need them. They're obviously polar bears, very endangered.
Right.
I don't know if they're still endangered. Are they still endangered? Are polar bears endangered? Y'all don't know?
No idea.
Vulnerable means their population is decreasing.
So.
Here, are they still doing Coca-Cola commercials?
I don't know.
I heard they went on strike a while back.
I think only in the wintertime, around Christmas.
Because you remember for a while, they were in all the Coca-Cola commercials.
Yeah, I was going to say, they even showed it before the movies and stuff they were in.
Yeah, I was just wondering what the unemployment rate is.
Yeah, that's when they start.
The polar bears.
They start crushing Coca-Colas every year about... October 20th-ish, around there.
Oh, so they're dying off because they're getting diabetes. They're drinking too much Coke.
It's called diabetes. Yeah.
Diabetes.
My name is Wilford Brimley, and I have diabetes. Sometimes it causes me to be short with my wife. The other day, what does he fucking say? He's like, the other day, I got short with my wife and struck her. Then I find out my wife's been dead for 15 years.
Oh, my God.
Who the hell did I hit? That's a Family Guy.
Yeah.
From like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's burrowed deep in my head.
For anyone who caught that reference.
Yeah.
fucking weird. Hey, polar bears, there's actually 22,000 to 31,000 of them. They weigh 800 to 1,300 pounds. Again, they run 25 miles an hour, and they weigh that much.
That's very scary.
They can be 6 to 9 feet long. And they
terrifying
obviously,
too.
Yeah, they obviously live in the cold. They clean themselves by rolling in the snow.
Huh.
Which is fun. That's why you always see the, you know, whenever you see footage of a polar bear, like on planet Earth or whatever, they always get at least one good shot of them rolling in the snow.
Rolling around.
Because it's super cute. Which also helps the insulating properties of their fur. So after feeding, they often freshen up by taking a swim or rolling around in the snow. Also helps them cool off when they get too hot. The sun, still very hot where these polar bears live, if they're under the sun all day or whatever, so you need to cool down. They live in the wild up to 30 years. Most live 15 to 18 years-ish, though. They have a great sense of smell to sniff out seals, which is their main food. This is always one of the bigger bummers about liking polar bears or any really, like, planet Earth situation when you start to focus on Alaska or Antarctica or any of the really cold places or the poles or whatever, because you start to look at all the animals and you're like, oh, they're so cute, they're so awesome. Ah, the penguins, oh, look at the seals. And then you realize, like, oh, they're eating each other.
Yeah.
Like, the polar bears eat the seals. That's their only source of food.
Yep.
They go straight for the seals.
I'm assuming the penguins, too, right?
Yeah, I think the seals eat the penguins.
But I'm saying the polar bears, they'll also eat the penguins, right?
I don't know. I don't want to say one way or the other. I can't remember ever seeing a polar bear eat a penguin. I have seen a polar bear eat the fuck out of a seal.
Yep.
And it's gnarly, and it's sad, and you're rooting for the seals, but then also the polar bear's got to eat too, and that's nature, baby. That's how it goes. They're great swimmers, the polar bears. They got to be to get those seals. Man, that makes it sad when you put everything in that light. They swim 6 miles per hour. I don't know how fast that is.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like 6 miles an hour.
How fast does Michael Phelps swim?
I would say you can compare it to that.
Is the thing I'm going to look up? Because I don't
know the
answer.
Didn't they do a deal like, it was like 3 or 4 years ago?
6 miles per hour.
Okay.
So that's good.
I remember they did that deal with Phelps comparing him to swim next to a shark. And they were supposed to do it like on live TV. And then he actually didn't swim next to a shark.
Well, it turns out white sharks can swim an estimated 25 miles per hour. Exactly. Which is much faster than 6.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how he thought he was going to keep up.
Damn, you get murked. 25 miles an hour?
Yeah, you don't get away from
You don't have a chance.
Yeah, no
chance. You don't get away from a shark.
No way.
You ever seen that movie 127 Meters Down with Mandy Moore?
I have not.
I think that's
what's that
called.
New shark movie that came out? Do you remember seeing the commercial during the game?
It's
like 47 meters below uncaged. It was like the worst movie title.
Yeah.
Fixing that. 47 Meters Down is the movie I'm referring to, starring Mandy Moore.
Oh, so this is a sequel
it's
to that.
It's the sequel to that, I believe. 47 Meters Down.
Or below or something.
Yeah, no, it's down. Yes, 47 Meters Down, Uncaged.
It's a terrible title.
It's really bad.
What do you mean? It sounds so good. It's coming out in August. I can't wait to see it. It tells the story of four teens diving in a ruined underwater city who quickly find themselves in a watery hell.
Oh, no way.
As their adventure turns to horror when they learn they are not alone in the submerged caves. As they swim deeper into the claustrophobic labyrinth of caves, because that's what you do. When you find a claustrophobic labyrinth of caves, you swim deeper.
You keep going.
They enter the territory of the deadliest shark species in the ocean. Fucking, if you ever see 47 Meters Down, the original on Netflix.
Is it about the same thing, essentially?
Basic premise of the other one as well, sort of. But it's got Mandy Moore in it.
I do like her.
I'll say this for it. It's better than you think it's going to be.
Huh.
It's not good. I'll just say that, too, for it. But it's better than you think it's going to be. Polar bears are excellent swimmers, like I said. They use their giant front paws to propel themselves through the water. Their huge black back legs. They are technically black under the fur. To steer. Their Latin name actually means sea bear. And you can find them in the frozen wilds of the Arctic in Canada, Alaska, Greenland. Alaska is the only part of the U.S. where you can find them. Russia, Norway. And they're gigantic. They measure over, 2.5 meters long. They weigh 680 kilograms. Nobody knows how long or how heavy that is in the United States, but this is for Canada. Biggest carnivores on Earth, I believe, still to this day, in terms of meat eaters.
Some big boys.
Yeah. Super thick fur, big-ass layer of fat called blubber to keep them warm and keep them from freezing to death in the water.
Yeah.
Fucking cold. Badass animals. Love them. Black skin underneath their glistening coats. Helps them soak up the sun's rays and keep warm when they need it. And then when they get too hot, roll around in the snow, like we said. There's your animal of the week. The fucking polar bear. RBP 194 is also brought to you by Manscaped. Are you using a terrible and incorrect tool with which to trim or groom your pubic region, you buffoon? Don't feel bad. This is a common issue for men. In fact, most guys just straight up don't know what product to use to clean themselves up. In my case, my old deal is I would retire my old electric facial hair razor and then use that to clean up my body. That's not what that thing is for. So then you get nicks and cuts and snags and your life is ruined. Don't go that route. Manscaped will come into your life where there's absolutely no fear in hurting your nuts with a nick or a cut or a snag ever again, thanks to the incredible Lawnmower 2.0. Their product line at Manscaped was created specifically for a man's distinctive grooming needs below the waist, featuring specially formulated products to cleanse, moisturize, and deodorize your smelly, disgusting testicles. Manscaped also offers tools engineered to give every gentleman a close, refined appearance, empowering men by providing the right tools for the right job. Their complete manscaping system includes the Lawnmower 2.0. This is their rechargeable, waterproof trimmer with skin-safe technology for a nick-free trim. It's fantastic, incredibly easy to use, incredibly easy to charge, sleek, great design, fantastic product. To learn more about Manscaped's revolutionary products, visit manscaped.com, M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com. Use the code RBP, you'll get 20% off your entire order, and your balls will thank you. Manscaped.com, use the code RBP, you'll get 20% off. Bumblebee Tuna, next segment. Top three Canadian celebrities. All right, you have to pick three. You can only pick three, okay? We're going to go through a bunch.
Okay, you're going to provide...
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to provide you with the most important Canadian celebrities that have existed ever in our lifetime that matter. Yeah. Okay? I'm not going back to the fucking roaring 20s to some Canadian actress. We don't care about that. So we're just going to go with the relevant ones for us, all right? Now, I'm going to start with the ones I consider to be most important. All right? To me, Jim Carrey is my number one. Jim Carrey is a Canadian, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, Pet Detective, Liar, Liar. Shit ton of great movies. Jim Carrey, in terms of people who have like had an influence on my childhood that aren't people I know, probably number one.
So you've watched those movies that you just named, what, 100 times? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
I thoroughly enjoy that movie. Why'd you ask?
Well, no, it's just because it's not one of his more lighthearted.
Oh no, it's great!
Like, you know, slapstick comedies.
Very dark.
It's a very dark, depressing movie. But I figured it was probably one that you watched and appreciated.
I recommend it. I did thoroughly enjoy it. Oddly enough, still never seen The Cable Guy.
Really?
Still never seen.
Really?
It. Gets recommended to me on a bi-monthly basis.
Watch that today.
For whatever reason,
I saw it a long time ago.
I would love to
probably find it on like a.
It's got to be somewhere.
Like Amazon.
Or Amazon.
Amazon Prime or whatever.
It's a darker comedy, and when I was little, I just wasn't that interested in it. Now I am. But Jim Carrey, probably my number one Canadian celebrity, okay? The next person I'm going to bring up is someone who is having one of the hotter moments that I've ever seen internet meme culture springboard someone into. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Who?
Drizzy.
No.
No?
Bieber?
No. Oh,
Bieber?
Justin Bieber.
No!
Oh.
No! Keanu Reeves!
Oh.
Dude, Keanu is Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right now, for whatever reason, meme pages on Instagram are trying to ruin him for us. You know, every fucking where I look is a Keanu Reeves meme lately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The internet has fallen in love with this dude like something I've never seen before.
As if Keanu Reeves just suddenly... burst onto the scene like as if this guy hasn't been around for like the past 40 years.
20, yeah, he ain't been doing it forever.
For real, he's been in movies.
He
forever.
He has like quite a filmography.
Oh my, sure. It's absolutely ridiculous how long he's been in movies and how many different movies he's been in.
But there's a lot of good movies in there too. Actually,
there are not a lot. There are some, AJ. There are some good movies.
Well, what would you say are the good ones?
The Matrix.
Of course.
Is a good movie. John Wick 1 is the only one that I'll speak to.
Why, are you going
to
jump all the way from The Matrix?
Yeah, it's quite the gap.
Like, no, damn, no,
I'm not saying in order.
You just throwing them right.
Oh, okay.
Those two in particular are fucking awesome movies. Back in the 90s, he had like Speed. You remember Speed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually really good. I was going to say Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
And Ted's Excellent Adventure. Do you remember The Serial? They had a cereal, dude.
Mm-mm.
That's how big Bill and Ted was.
I remember the video game for the original Nintendo.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
For the NES.
I just remember the cereal. And it came with like the fucking, you know how it was like a telephone booth that they would travel through or whatever?
Yeah.
It came with like a telephone booth toy or some shit.
That's sick.
Yeah.
That is sick.
If you've never seen the movie Knock Knock.
Oh, yeah. We brought that up before.
We have brought it up before. I highly recommend it. I believe it is still streaming somewhere.
Yeah.
But Knock Knock stars him, and it's a good, more recent Keanu Reeves movie. Keanu is a weird dude because he's had this, like, incredibly long career. I mean, he's been in movies since, let me see, when his first credited acting job is, like,
it's probably early
80s. 1984, it looks like. Okay, he's been in shit for freaking ever. I mean, he was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was 1989.
Okay? Yeah, that was one of his first movies, yeah. I believe.
I was 2 years old. He was in a movie called Permanent Record in 1988, which is what the name of the studio that we're recording in now is.
Is there a correlation there? Or?
I don't think so.
Probably ask.
Point Break, where he played Johnny
Break.
Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1991.
Wow.
Which is the same year Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey came out. That was like a whole fucking...
You know they're making another one, right?
Dude, yes. What is it called? Bill and Ted's... I'm trying to find the
it's probably going to be terrible.
It most likely.
You can't make that kind of movie now. Like, it was fine in the 80s because, you know, obviously it was very corny and cheesy or
sure.
whatever.
Yeah, Bill and Ted Face the Music is in pre-production right now. It's coming out in 2020. He's also in Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the
He's
stuff
Duke,
I've seen for.
Right. Duke Kaboom.
Right. That's where all the memes are from.
So... considering the length of his career, considering all the different movies he's been in and shit, it's just crazy because he's having this weird renaissance where he's like become this A-lister again, like one of the most popular people on the planet, in large part due to John Wick.
Right.
Like 90%.
Oh, yeah, that John definitely Wick. Revived his career.
It is crazy, sure. the renaissance he has had, but he's been in a million movies, man. The Devil's Advocate, Johnny Mnemonic, Speed.
That's what I'm saying. He has hits.
Yeah.
He does. But he's in a lot of bad shit as well.
Oh, sure.
And mostly he's playing, like, himself.
The bad.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Keanu Reeves' character.
Big on Keanu. Then we'll talk Drake. Drizzy. He has to be in your top three Canadian celebrities.
For
if
sure.
You're, if
yeah,
you're,
whether you want to admit it or not.
If you're my age or y'all's age or around our ages and you love rap, how can you not put Drake in your top three Canadian celebrities?
For sure.
He has to be there. Justin Bieber, obvious one.
Yeah.
The Biebs is a Canadian.
He's getting a lot of meme, too. That's why I thought you were going with that. With
what memes is he getting?
His goofy-ass clothes he's been wearing.
Oh, I haven't seen these.
The big old pants. You haven't seen those?
No.
He wore them like 2 or 3 days in a row. And
oh,
posted,
no.
And like a full, not a selfie, but like the full portrait of
I'll
it.
I'll have to dig in.
He's wearing like size 3XL clothes.
Rachel McAdams, Smoke.
Oh, okay.
Smoke.
Yeah.
Incredible actress. The Notebook is my favorite. Second favorite rom-com.
Oh, they're going to say my favorite movie. I was about to have a different conversation.
Like, hold on, man.
It's not even a rom-com. And I've seen it maybe twice, even considering all the fact that there was a 10-year period there where if you walked into a room that had a female in it, there was a 68% chance she was watching The Notebook.
You want to know the worst rom-com I've ever seen?
What?
And this is actually a movie that I've walked out of, like, in the theater.
Oh, fuck.
It's a movie with Reese Witherspoon and Owen Wilson. And it's called How Do You Know?
Why the fuck were you in a movie theater seeing a Reese Witherspoon, Owen Wilson movie?
Some girls dragged us to it. You know how it goes.
I do.
That's usually how that goes.
Okay.
Some girls are like, oh, we should go watch this movie. It looks really good.
Oh, it looks like Paul Rudd and Jack Nicholson were in it, too.
It's so bad. It made me want to rip my eyes out and just set them on fire.
So it's funny. This is a good one that you brought up. There are a lot of movies like this with incredible A-list actors and actresses as their cast, and then they bomb, and you never hear about them.
Right.
And this is one that's hilarious. Like, that's three big, big, big A-list actors and actresses. Four, even.
Right.
Well, I'm not a big Owen Wilson guy. So the fact that this movie featured him predominantly throughout the movie, I was out.
You're already out.
Yeah, they lost money on this. This didn't do well. I love Reese Witherspoon. I'm not a big Owen Wilson guy,
well, I mean,
I'm like, you know what I mean. It went,
I'm like, wow.
I mean, obviously, wow. Wedding Crashers, but
oh wow.
But I think it's because of the dynamic with Vince Vaughn. Wow. Because I do like Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn is great.
So I think the dynamic that they had together, that's what made that movie.
I'm a huge Paul Rudd guy though.
Yeah, Paul Rudd's awesome.
Do less.
Go back real quick.
That's not even a good scene. By the way, that's not a good scene. It's not a good scene in Forgetting Sarah Marshall with the fucking surfboard. That's not funny. That's like his worst scene ever. Yeah. People always quote that fucking scene.
And it's not good.
And that's not a good Paul Rudd scene. Sorry, Sammy.
No, you need the Owen Wilson wow button to add that in there.
On
the soundboard.
It needs to be like the Kanye West looking soundboard, though. I'm not talking about like some kid shit. I want a Kanye looking soundboard. One of the buttons needs to make the sound from Runaway. The piano key from Runaway needs to be one of the buttons on that bitch. What else are we going to talk about here? Which celebrity were we on? Remind me.
We're on...
Bieber.
Biebs? McAdams?
Yeah. McAdams.
Ryan Gosling.
Ah.
Yeah.
Another huge one. Big time Canadian, big time fucking famous Hollywood star.
What are your thoughts on him?
I don't
and his movies.
I don't really know, man. I like Drive.
I didn't like it.
It was okay.
He has a lot of movies where they try to be like too artsy.
Yeah.
You know? Like he tries to do like this weird like indie, like I'm gonna play a character who's really like dark and elusive but like really attractive at the same time.
He has that face for that though, where he can pull off like the, you know, you don't say too much because you don't want to fuck it up. That's like, you know what my favorite Gosling movie is, dude? And this is one of my favorite movies.
We might say the same movie because I was going to say one, too.
Say it.
Gangster Squad.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
I like Gangster Squad a lot.
But I have seen that. The Place Beyond the Pines is mine.
That's actually probably number two for me.
I love that movie, man.
I've started to watch that movie and fallen asleep to it twice.
Oh,
but I've watched it like late night.
I
want to watch it.
It'll put your ass to sleep if you watch it late night.
Right.
Gangster Squad's good, too, though.
I like Gangster Squad. That was a good one.
Gangster Squad.
Did you ever watch that?
Yes, I did. But I'm trying to remember how it ends. I can't remember like what I thought of the movie when it was all said and done.
There's a bunch of people in that one too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a whole
It was like Josh Brolin, Gosling, right. Nick Nolte, Sean Penn. Is
they were good.
It?
Yeah.
You know what?
Sean Penn was the villain.
I need to go back and watch this now and see what I think of it.
Gangster Squad?
I remember it being better than I expected. When did it come out?
Like 2012? Something like
that. I have no...
ish. See.
It's got to be sometime around then.
2013.
It's close.
2013, yeah. They made a lot of money with that one, in case anybody
was popular, for sure.
I saw La La Land.
I did too.
That was actually, it was okay. I mean, it's a musical.
I still have not seen La La Land.
It was one of those movies I said the same thing. I went in and girl and thinking, I'm not going to like this, and it was
the story is actually pretty good. I like Emma Stone also.
They did good.
Like Emma Stone too.
Yeah.
Go watch The Place Beyond the Pines if you've never seen it.
Yeah,
it's good. But carve out 2.5-3 hours of your life where you can focus and you're not looking for like, it's not going to be what you expect. I'll just say that. It's a great story.
It's a very good movie though.
A very well-made movie. A lot of other stars in it. I'm not going to say anything else. Mike Myers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Austin Powers himself.
Iconic.
Wayne's World. He is iconic. An iconic comedian.
Wayne's World. It's one of my all-time favorites of his.
Yeah,
for
I was
sure.
Gonna say, I think I would hold that above Austin Powers.
What, Wayne's World?
For me, too.
I mean, I don't know how
you feel. I think culturally you have to hold Wayne's World above Austin Powers, but that's generational, and Austin Powers has got to be right below it.
Right.
Austin Powers 1
is
inarguably a fucking hilarious movie. Now, if you're one of the many, many people listening who's like, dude, fuck Austin Powers, go back and watch the first one.
Oh, yeah, watch the original.
You can go in with a clean mind.
If you can blank out all the other ones, like just, Beyonce and all those other bad ones, take those out.
Go in with a positive attitude, ready to laugh. I guarantee you Austin Powers 1 will make you fucking laugh. It's stupid as shit, but remember, it's a parody. It's making fun of like James Bond and all the spy movies, and enjoy it. It is so fucking genius, dude. It is genius. To make a parody, think about it. When a parody comes out, like Scary Movie or some shit, you're like, oh, God.
Scary Movie 10.
They made a parody into a brand that was so big and popular that it rivals the thing it's parodying.
Right.
That's impossible to do.
The scene where he's back in the car back up and forth and he somehow gets it perfectly where he's turning around and going forward.
Dude,
and
one of my favorites
it's
is
so
when,
funny.
So he steals the the fucking cement roller.
Yeah.
And he's going like 1/4 of a mile an hour. And there's a guy 120 yards away.
Yeah, and then it'll cut back, and it's like real time, and it shows him how slow he's moving.
Yes, dude.
It's so funny.
Incredible. That movie, that's very hard to pull. I can't stress this enough, how hard it is to pull off that level of comedy. Like,
he was definitely the perfect guy to do that. You couldn't have gotten anyone else to play that role.
That's where the genius comes in. It's not easy to do that, man. And you show up, and it's like now you're making a movie making fun of spy movies, and you're this British dude with horrid teeth. It could have been, and the second and third were arguably some of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah.
But the first one is incredible.
Because how many characters is he playing that? Is he just
himself? He's Fat Bastard. He's Dr. Evil. He's at least three or four.
Right.
But I would say just watch the first one. Never watch the second or the third. In fact, we should just pretend those don't even exist. Speaking of Canadian comics, Michael J. Fox.
Oh.
Canadian.
No.
Maybe not so important to us, but certainly to the generation, or the 10 years before me.
Did you ever
older than me.
Did you ever watch his sitcom? I think it was just called The Michael J. Fox Show, right?
I thought it was called Just Shoot Me.
Oh, no. Actually, I think he was in a couple shows, though.
The Good Wife, Spin City. Boston Legal.
I might have been thinking of Spin City. I don't know why I thought the Michael J. Fox Show.
Because that's what it was called.
Oh, it was?
I think it was only 2013 to 2014.
Oh, that was the recent one. Yeah. I was thinking of Spin City.
That was the recent one. That was the one they tried to pull off most recently was... But Back to the Future is the thing that makes Michael J. Fox a legend for me. Like, I've seen those movies probably 100 times.
Also, Teen Wolf. I actually like that a lot, too. That was actually a really good movie.
Teen Wolf gets a lot of respect. A lot. I don't even know if I ever saw it.
You've never seen it?
The only reason I even know what Teen Wolf is because we used to Teen Wolf beers in college, which is where you take the beer, and then instead of like shotgunning it like a normal human or just drinking it like a normal, even more normal human, you bite into the fully filled beer without anything being open.
Oh.
You just go, and it explodes all up in your face, and you drink as much of it as you can while it drips down your entire
body. Teen Wolfing?
That's called Teen Wolfing a beer. That's what we used to call it anyway. Yeah. Curb Your Enthusiasm, when he appeared on that, took Michael J. Fox to another level for me.
Yeah.
If you have a disease like that and you're still willing to show up with Larry David and make fun of yourself.
That's one of your all-time
Curb?
Like, sitcoms, right?
Curb is
well,
one of the...
Would you call it a sitcom? I don't even know how to describe
it. No,
it's
just a comedy. It's just a comedy.
But it's one of your all-time comedies, right?
It's a fucking hilarious, hilarious TV show. Absolutely. What else was he back way in the day? Oh. He was in, obviously, Back to the Future 1, 2, 3. Family Ties was another one of his big shows. 7 years they did that. The Love Boat in 83 he was in an episode of. The guy's had a career in Hollywood since the 70s, the late 70s.
He has Parkinson's, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like we have to mention that if we're talking about him.
Pamela Anderson, Canadian. Canadian canons.
All-time babe.
Ryan Reynolds. Another all-time hilarious and handsome person. Seth Rogen.
Ah.
Seth Rogen.
One of our former favorite stoners in American culture.
He's supposed to come on this show, actually.
Seth Rogen is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I knew Ellen Page was supposed to come on. I didn't know Seth would.
Oh, I wasn't aware that she was supposed to. Why is she coming on?
I don't know. She's Canadian.
Oh, okay.
She's an honorable mention person.
I would really want Seth Rogen to come on.
Well, look, man. If Ellen Page wants to come on and Seth doesn't, what do you want me to do?
Oh, we can take what we can get.
Here's some honorable mentions. Matthew Perry of Friends and Almost Heroes. William Shatner of Commercials and Star Trek.
Commercials.
Michael Cera of Superbad. Alanis Morissette of Your Angry Girlfriend's Car. Wayne Gretzky, the great one.
Wayne Gretzky.
With the hot daughter.
Look, Gretzky, I think, is probably in a lot of people's top three Canadians.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about hockey. So he's not in my top three.
His daughter's in my top list.
That is a very interesting point you bring up, AJ.
What?
I don't know if she counts as Canadian.
I don't even know if she does.
I bet she counts as American.
She's still on my list.
I bet Paulina was born in the U.S. I bet she doesn't count. And I bet Google can tell me a hell of a lot faster than, born in Los Angeles, California.
There you go.
That's ours.
Yeah.
We claim that here. We planted our flag right in her head. Shania Twain.
Oh, yeah.
Celine Dion.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of...
AJ, sing the first verse of My Heart Will Go On.
I don't want to.
Okay. And then Dan Aykroyd.
For the sake of everyone's ears.
That's probably the move. Dan Aykroyd and Bryan Adams to close it out. Bryan Adams, Everything I Do For You, song. From
Oh, wow. I was like, why do I know that name?
So give me your top three. Give me your
out of all those,
off the top of your head, three Canadians, the most important. I'm gonna say mine are Drake, Jim Carrey, and Justin Bieber. I'm gonna say those are my three. If I'm being real and I'm judging it on like impact,
it impacts yourself.
Not me necessarily myself. Bieber has had almost no impact on me personally. But I realize that Bieber is one of the most famous people ever to walk the face of the earth.
Sure.
He sold more albums than most people that ever walked the face of the earth. He's been famous for the majority of his life. He's one of those people that has this crazy level of fame at a very, very young age, unlike anything we've ever seen. He's got to be the most famous child we've ever had, right? In the world?
Yeah, I mean, that's when he was putting out those videos with when Usher first found him or whatever. Aside and they were getting millions. Yeah, and getting millions and millions of views.
He was like 12 years old and he was the most famous person in the world, man. Like,
for sure.
He's had a career that is not easily comparable to many other people.
Right.
And I think that puts him firmly in my top three Canadians out of just respect for what he's been able to accomplish, honestly. He does have, like I said, had almost no effect on me personally, whereas Jim Carrey's had an enormous effect on me personally. And Drake, I just listen to his music a shit ton. I love all these. My honorable mentions personally would be like Gosling is good. Ryan Reynolds, man.
Yeah, he's
that's
good.
A funny fucking he's talented good. Guy. And I love Seth Rogen too. And then those are probably my most important.
When you mentioned that, I was looking up his movies, and Ryan Reynolds has had a lot more than I, you know, back to back that I thought.
Oh, dude, we talked about this before. Just Friends.
Yes,
it's that's so good.
The funniest movie.
Yeah, so dude, good. I watch that movie like every year around the holidays.
Yeah.
It's become like a tradition for me.
It's awesome.
He is in a lot of stuff that is very, very good. He is very, very talented and funny.
It's funny how he pokes fun at Green Lantern.
Yes,
because obviously that's like one of the worst movies he's ever made.
Yes,
for sure.
That movie was so bad. Why was it?
I saw that movie in theaters. I paid to go see that.
Oh no!
Is this the special effects or what? The story.
The story is so bad.
Everything about it just ended up like. Just went horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It was all bad. Well, let's move on to our next segment. Serial killers you haven't heard of. It's a Canadian. His name's Gilbert Paul Jordan, known as the Boozing Barber.
Oh.
I've never heard of this guy.
I haven't either.
But this is fucked up. Listen to this. He was a Canadian serial killer who is believed to have committed the so-called alcohol murders in Vancouver, British Columbia. One of the things about Canada is they don't have states, right?
Yeah, they're provinces, I believe, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Right? Isn't that what it's called?
I think so.
A province? But
the point is they don't have states, and it's very confusing. So you'll see things like Vancouver, British Columbia, and I don't actually know what that means.
It's like three different things in one. It's like three commas. Like, I don't know what's what.
Do you also have a zip code? I don't know.
Yeah.
But this man was linked to killings between 1965 and 1988, the first Canadian known to use alcohol as a murder weapon. So this is what he would do. He began killing in 1965. He is a serial killer. He's considered to be a serial killer because he was linked to the deaths of between 8 and 10 women. But he was only convicted in the manslaughter of one woman, which is strange for a guy who's believed to have killed 10.
Right.
His victims were Aboriginal women in Vancouver's downtown east side.
What does that mean?
It means they're native to the area they're native Canadians.
Okay.
He was going after Aboriginal Canadians. And he would find women in bars, typically buy them drinks or pay them for sex, prostitutes.
Sounds pretty normal so far.
Encourage them to drink with him.
Normal weekend.
Then when they would pass out, he would pour liquor down their throats until they died.
Oh, so that's how he would, like, he would physically kill them with alcohol.
Yeah. So the resulting deaths would get reported as alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
Right? And police paid little attention to a lot of this shit because the victims were usually suffering from alcoholism anyway, so they were already piss-ass drunk.
So So you wouldn't even assume that somebody was pouring alcohol down their throat.
Or that they were killed at all.
Right.
Yeah.
They just did it to themselves on accident.
It's like this person just drank way too much.
Right, which that explains why he never got convicted in a lot of this shit is because they probably didn't even figure it out until way later on. It became a pattern because women started dying of alcohol poisoning more frequently around this guy. Like I said, some of the women were sex workers, okay? So he was going and picking up drunk and alcoholic prostitutes.
He was picking up the same kind of girls kind of deal.
Yeah, talk about going for like a disenfranchised group of society.
Yeah.
Alcoholic prostitutes, dick. This guy was known for drinking more than 50 ounces of vodka each day.
My God.
One can beer is 12 ounces. Imagine if that was filled with vodka and then you had four of them.
Every day.
A handle of vodka, like a big-ass handle, is about 59.2 ounces. So he was almost tossing a big-ass handle of vodka a day.
I mean, back in your heyday, you're crushing those, right?
Hell no. Fuck no, dude. 50 That's ounces so of much. Vodka? Fuck. I never really drank vodka much. Vodka's like the ultimate. Once you become like the alcoholic like stereotype, you go to vodka because there's no smell.
Right.
And you can just pound all day.
Well, what was your liquor of choice?
Probably scotch.
Oh, okay. Very classy.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in college.
It's only classy until you drink the whole bottle, and it's not classy
anymore. Who drinks scotch in college when you're
frat
in a fraternity?
Guys.
Really?
Yeah. Frat guys who are like juniors and seniors and think they're cool.
And they're old.
That's what you do. Yeah, you dress like an old man, and then you start drinking like an old man, and that's the way it goes.
We would do Everclear. Oh. And then go clean our car batteries.
Never do Everclear, AJ. And clean your car batteries.
Yeah, because you know you can
Everclear use it.
That
you can use Everclear. Yeah.
I use it to scrub the blood out of my bathtub. Okay. Everclear, that's what I use it for.
Very functional.
Speaking of serial killers, the first woman known to have died by alcohol poisoning in this man's company was in 1965. Then it became a pattern. There was a switchboard operator named Ivy Rose who was found dead in a Vancouver hotel. Her blood alcohol level was 0.51. No charges were ever laid. Have you ever had your blood alcohol level taken?
No.
No, but I know you have.
Yeah. I have.
Many times.
0.51 is very, very high. That's where you die, around that area. Mine was 0.23 was mine when I got my DWI.
That's pretty bad. That's up there.
0.08 is legal level. I was more than double that.
Triple, almost.
Which is quite bad.
You were faded.
Quite awful. Do not drink and drive. Court proceedings show, quote, he sought out approximately 200 women per year for binge drinking episodes covering a period from 1980 to 1988, also looking for sexual gratification. Per year, this dude. So basically all he was doing was blacking out with prostitutes that were also alcoholics. And then sometimes I think they'd die. And then he'd just keep dumping alcohol down their throats.
Yeah, I was trying to wrap my head around what he was trying to.
That's the thing. I can't even tell if
he was having sex with them.
But I think they were probably just, in some cases, just dying, right?
They're just partying way too hard.
They're already prostitutes. Yeah. They're already way too fucked up.
Right.
And they're partying with this guy. Come on, you can't get lower. Yeah, I think in some cases, I doubt he was killing all of them. I bet some of them just died.
Well, I could see him just like chugging a bunch of vodka and he's like, here, baby, have some of this. And then like she's like, no, I'm good. I had too much to drink already. And he's like, no, you're going to drink this. Right. And then just like dumps it down their throat.
And then what happens? And then what happens next? I'm just kidding. Further, the Crown provided evidence that this man, Jordan, was linked to the deaths of six other Aboriginal women. Three of them died at his barbershop.
That's what I was going to say. What was his nickname? Yeah.
The boozing barber.
Yeah, I was wondering where that was going to come into play.
Does he do this at... So it's
at his barbershop in some cases. Right. I think he might have lived there too. It's very... Or he was taking him to hotel rooms near his barbershop. Yeah. But three of them literally died in the barbershop.
Well,
not very safe. Not very secretive. But according to the court records, police listening outside of hotel rooms when they were, stalking this guy to try to catch him, He would say things such as, quote, have a drink down the hatch, baby. $20 if you drink it right down. See if you're a real woman. Finish that drink. Finish that drink. Down the hatch. Hurry, right down. You need another drink. I'll give you $50 if you can take it. I'll give you $10, $20, $50, whatever you want. Come on, I want to see you get it all down. You get it right down. I'll give you the $50 and the $13. I'll give you $50. I told you that. If you finish that, I'll give you $75. Finish your drink and I'll give you $20. It's the worst human of all time.
Yeah.
The worst peer pressure that
also,
ever existed.
How much was $50 back then? It's probably got to be a ton, right?
I gave you $20 if you finish that drink. No, I'll give you $75. I'll give you $50. Dude, how much? How much are you going to give me if I finish the fucking drink? And the next thing you know, you're dead.
You're dead.
This is like some sort of like sexual fetish.
I think he's just a drunken lunatic.
It's like horny for alcohol.
Yeah.
200 women a year this guy was going on binge drinking episodes with. He died in 2006.
I'm surprised he made it
to alcohol. Tell me it was from alcohol poisoning.
Probably.
Yeah.
He only did 15 years. He got convicted, 15 years in prison, was reduced to 9 on appeal. He only served 6. He could have killed 10 women.
Yeah.
They only convicted him of the one manslaughter. He's just the boozing barber. He's a Canadian serial killer.
By the way, if you want to talk about a horrible way to die, alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
That sounds like you just suffer. Like, it just sounds very painful because I imagine all your organs just shut down.
In your brain first, I think is like the bad part. I mean, you...
Unless you just black out and then you die.
You've been so drunk that you lose like control of your general faculties. Imagine that times like 100. I feel like you just slink towards death. You're just like a slow motion.
Slowly.
Which sounds absolutely fucking terrible.
Not a good way to go.
No. Alcohol, man. The hangovers. It's a lot. That was the boozing barber. You know what the boozing barber could have used?
What?
Our next sponsor. RBP194 is also brought to you by Liquid IV.
Nice.
If you're trying to drink more water, Liquid IV hydrates you faster and more efficiently than water alone. If you got a bad hangover, for instance, it's got the added bonus of vitamin C, B3, B5, B6, and B12. When properly hydrated, you allow your body to perform at its best to burn more calories and reduce muscle cramps, which makes for a more efficient workout. If you're huge on lifting and you don't want to chug that giant bottle of water after your workout, crush a Liquid IV. It also helps fight altitude sickness. So if you're big on skiing or snowboarding in the mountains or hiking, I guess, if we're getting into summer here, or if you travel a lot, by the way, they come in convenient TSA-friendly powder packets. They're perfect for on-the-go travelers. But they promote healthy hydration during months where your allergies are getting wrecked, like mine are right now as well, if you have a cold all the time or whatever. Liquid IV can be a big help there. Staying properly hydrated is one of those important factors in flu and cold recovery and prevention. And Liquid IV contains 110% of the daily value of vitamin C and B12 that you need. It's not your average electrolyte drink mix, AJ. It's not Gatorade. It's not Pedialyte. It doesn't have all that artificial flavors and preservatives and shit that you don't need in it. Also, they donate one serving to people in need around the world for every order placed. Liquid IV is the fastest growing hydration brand you can find. And you can find them everywhere, even Costco. All Costcos nationwide now carry Liquid IV. I love Liquid IV. I know you will too. Right now, RBP gang, use the code RBP at checkout on liquidiv.com. You get 20% off. That's 20% off anything you order on Liquid IV's website. Go to liquidiv.com, enter my promo code RBP, and get your savings and start getting better hydration today. That's liquidiv.com, promo code RBP. Don't wait. Get hydrated today. That's pretty much all we have planned for RBP 194. Sammy, you have any questions?
You guys didn't really get into much of a Q&A.
Yeah, well, we don't have a Q&A planned, AJ.
Well, why don't we just use this little bit of time?
Do you have a question?
Pose a
question.
Let me think one real
Sam,
quick.
Sam, favorite food?
All time?
Yeah, your favorite food. Or favorite kind of food?
Pizza.
Well, what is your favorite thing about Ross?
My favorite thing about Ross? I don't know. He's always been...
Or like, what do you think is his best quality, I guess, also?
I don't know.
Handsomeness.
What?
Handsomeness.
Yeah, handsomeness. I would say I got more of the blessed side of the looks in the family, so...
Ooh.
Just kidding. That's
hard.
Just kidding.
Wow.
No, really, Ross, he's been a great brother for the 27 years I've been on this earth. We've seen... it's very cool to see what he does on a day-to-day basis.
I thought you were 26. I can't be that good.
Yeah, well, I just turned 27. My birthday is like a week before yours.
Yeah, but 31 minus 5.
You're not 31.
You're 32.
You're 32.
Now.
Oh my God.
You just had a birthday.
Yeah, remember that whole birthday thing you had?
Come old.
Remember I gave you that birthday present yesterday? So never mind.
Somebody I was 31 like yesterday and I was wrong. I'm 32.
I've done that. I do that all the time.
Anyway, sorry. Not trying to cut you off while you
you're good.
Say nice things about me.
So yeah, no, he's been a great brother for sure. It's really, that's like I said, appreciate you having me on. It's been very cool to see you work.
Dude, it's fun having you in here while we do an episode and you getting to contribute some too. When you say pizza though? Be specific.
I don't know. I mean,
I hate that when people say they like pizza. Like, what do you mean you like pizza?
Yeah, it's like, what do you like on it?
It's like being like, I like sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? What kind of fucking sandwich?
I mean, first thing that comes to my mind, I don't know, like cane rosso. It's one of my favorites.
Cane rosso?
Yeah, so cane rosso.
No, but I mean like toppings. Like, what do you like on your pizza?
Oh, yeah, because I don't know what that is.
Like, I'm a pepperoni pizza person.
Yeah, it's a barbecue chicken pizza.
Oh, yeah, I am a big fan of barbecue chicken.
Yeah, pepperoni salad.
They have a pizza called the Honey Bastard.
Yeah, it's the best.
What's on that?
Honey and Canadian bacon and
sopressata.
Is it just called ham?
No, it's the
Canadian bacon for real.
I think it is Canadian bacon.
Huh.
That one's really good.
Good as shit. Oh, it's good as shit.
The place has a lot of cool a lot of good toppings that make me feel like I'm Tony Soprano because they're all super Italian and just want to like eat those out of a little partridge paper that he eats in the morning.
What's your favorite sport to play?
To play?
Yeah.
I played baseball my whole life, so probably baseball.
Oh, so you guys both play baseball?
Yeah.
Yes. Big baseball.
Same position?
No.
I like how mom said you were very athletic in the last episode.
Oh, was that a lie?
I don't know. No.
It's just hard for people to accept.
Oh.
It is hard for people to accept. I'm serious. I think it's because of my build. Because people that don't even know me.
You're built like a basketball player, honestly. You're like tall
like a
and
stick
lengthy.
Figure.
People who don't know me or didn't know me when I was a kid, when someone said, or if I'm like, yeah, I was good at sports when I was little, people are like, uh-huh. And I'm like, I was good at sports when I was, I don't care one way or the other, honestly. It doesn't mean anything. I'm not one of these people that's like, back in my day in high school, I struck out 9 consecutive batters or whatever. It's like,
right.
The only thing I've ever talked about, ever, is how I struck out Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
And I will continue to talk about that every year until he fucking retires from the NFL because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And the Bengals suck ass.
Yeah. Did you ever tell that story? I don't even know if you ever mentioned
it. There's not really a story to it. It's
that's
just,
pretty much
I struck out Andy Dalton, and that's it. He was a ginger fuck, and I had to sit him down. I did what had to be done. There's no offense meant.
Is he a person that you want to fight also?
Nah, I got no problem with Andy. In fact, if anything, he should probably want to fight me because I talk shit about him constantly. and we knock his team out of the playoffs every time they ever attempt to make a run. The Bengals are so bad. They suck ass. They signed Marvin Lewis to like a 1,000-year deal.
Yeah.
Makes me so happy.
Don't understand that.
I have another question.
But no, I was good at sports is my point. Fuck all y'all. Yeah, go ahead, AJ.
What do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living?
Like what's going on in your life right now?
For anyone that's
curious to know.
Yeah, I work for a general contractor in Houston, do commercial construction, and also go to school. So it's been working my way through school. Ross and I didn't take the normal route of 4 years and out. So
no.
Not at all.
Well, first of all, that's not normal anymore, apparently. Apparently, like 5 is the normal. And then, but no, we didn't.
We didn't.
No. Neither of us graduated in the... allotted time
the time
frame.
Slot you're supposed to.
Well, look at me.
Neither did you. Hey, no one at this table did.
I'm well beyond the allotted time.
And we all have microphones. Yeah. You will listen to every damn word that we have to say. You people who graduated. And it's funny because we have cousins and shit that graduated in like 3 years from really hard schools.
Yeah.
And then you and I went like a combined 15 years at rolling. Not hard schools.
Right.
And since we're on this, I have a serious question since we're on this topic.
Yeah.
I was actually going to bring this up on a later episode. Do GPAs even matter?
Yes, it just depends on what industry you're in.
To get your foot in the door.
Yeah, they matter enormously depending on the industry that you're in. Now, if you're going into media or whatever, no, not at all. Nobody gives a fuck about your GPA.
What the hell, man? Like, I graduated Texas State with like a 3.8 GPA.
Yeah.
It means nothing now. Why'd I try so hard?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. I made the dean's list
every semester, and I'm also in the Council of Scholars.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, it matters at places.
Should I even put that on like my applications and my resume and stuff?
Yes.
For sure.
Absolutely.
What was one of those fraternity shirts you had? It's not the
grade you make, it's the hand you shake.
Yeah.
That's only true if you're a dickhead though.
That's true.
Like that is true. It can be true if you're nice too. I'm just saying.
I just want to believe that there's some weight behind me working so hard.
For sure.
Like I want to feel like there's some validation or some credibility in that.
Oh, the world is never going to give you that. But I can tell you there is, but the world will never make you feel that way.
Yeah.
You'll probably feel the rest of your life like you shouldn't have tried so hard in school.
Well, I almost think of it as the same as if you're in a frat or a sorority. Like, I feel like it doesn't even matter once you're out of school.
It's again,
unless you utilize that to network and make connections.
Right. That's what I say. It's just a big networking tool for sure.
But if not, if you're just in it just for the social aspect of it, it means absolutely nothing once you're out of that environment, right? Like, is that a true statement?
No, because I got my first job based solely off of my fraternity, which led me to my career, which led to this show's existence.
Were you in a frat too, Sam?
No. What's
no?
That?
In fact, if I hadn't joined a fraternity, we wouldn't be sitting here. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm also, like, not the biggest, like, pro-fraternity person in the world. I think it's for some people and it's not for others. And I think there's a lot of problems with that system.
I think I should have did it.
As all systems have problems. But all in all, no. It really depends. There are a lot of people who get their job based on the connections they make in school. Now, that's just not just fraternities. There's clubs, social clubs, all kinds of different things that applies to. But for some people, it can be a very good thing. And for others, it can derail them completely. For me, I was in the latter and the former. I just happen to be part of both. So I'm a weird example. For most people, you're either one or the other when it comes to the fraternity sorority thing in college. But really, all that shit post-graduation with your GPA, it depends. Some jobs, they won't even look at your application unless you have certain GPA. So for a lot of places, it serves as a benchmark to even getting your foot in the door, like Sam said. That's the important part, is if it serves as a pre-qualification to them even looking at your application, which at a lot of good companies, that's the way they do their hiring. Now, as we've gotten deeper into the 2000s, and now we're at 2019, I think it matters less and less because people are less willing to not look at a candidate for a job just because of their GPA.
Yeah, no, obviously it's about what have you done.
Yeah.
Which goes back to our whole discussion about you need to find an internship or just some way to get some experience while you're in college.
And sure. Then
it's of the utmost importance.
Anything you can do to get your foot in the door in an industry is the way to go. I mean, it's the same thing Sammy did. Sam, you got an internship that's turned into
full-time job.
A career opportunity.
Oh, so is it the same company? Like you interned for them and then they just ended up hiring you?
Yep.
Basically, yeah. So it's, no, I mean, it's important, especially when you're first starting out to getting your foot in the door anywhere. Yeah, your GPA definitely matters. You don't want to roll in with a 1.8. They're not going to talk to you.
Right.
And then your connections matter as well, because a lot of the time they can get you a seat at the table or straight up get you hooked up with a job.
Right.
Which is good and bad for different reasons. But no, I mean, it matters, man.
I guess to round all that back in, I guess the main takeaway is to network, get out of your house, meet some people, shake some hands.
Especially in college, because you never really know what opportunities. Start doing that shit.
You never know what's going to lead to.
Oh, for sure. Any other announcements? You have two legal obligations. First and foremost, you must rate and review this show specifically on Apple Podcasts. I don't care if you listen on Spotify or SoundCloud or wherever. That's fine. But rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars. Write 2 or 3 sentences about why you like the show, why you believe other people might like the show. You must also tell one friend, family member, coworker, or neighbor, one living, breathing individual who has the ability to enjoy this podcast, tell them about the show. Share it with them this week. It's one person this week, one person next week, one person every week until the week you die. Those are your two legal obligations. Fulfill them, and I will call off the dogs. We won't have to see each other in court, and we can move on with our lives. Follow us on Instagram, at the Ross Boland Podcast, on Twitter, at Ross Boland Pod. We're also on Facebook, Nobody Cares. Follow me, Ross Boland, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, at WRBOLEN, at WRBOLEN, on all three of those platforms. AJ, where can you be followed by the RBP gang?
On Twitter and Instagram, I am at Capital AJ. That's CAPITALAJ.
Do you want social media clout, or would you rather avoid the masses? Okay. What's your social handles?
It's Uncle Sam 13, and yeah, I basically tweet about Rocket stuff, or retweet random
Houston
stuff.
Houston sports.
Yeah. And then Instagram, I post a picture, I don't know, every 6 months. So come check it out.
There you go. Every 6 months, you'll get a photo of something going on in Sam's life on Instagram.
There you go.
Build the anticipation.
Yeah.
If you follow him on the gram. We're over 700 dues-paying members on the RBP Gang Patreon now.
Hey, man, have you published my article yet?
No.
This is becoming like an ongoing thing now.
I'm trying to figure out...
The streets have been asking.
How to format it in a way that doesn't make it weird.
What do you mean by that? Oh, this might be off mic stuff.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off mic. But patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast is where you can find everything Patreon, premium, RBP related. You get 2 extra episodes of the show a month if you join, depending on the tier you pick. You get written columns as well. AJ has written something that I'm trying to figure out how to post it, but it'll be coming soon. patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast. Well, we're going to get out of here. Recorded and produced by Mike Moody and Grant Davis at Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas was RBP 194. We will catch you next week on episode 195. RBP 195 coming next week. Gang, gang, gang. Peace be with you. And also with you, Sam. Say adios. Adios.
Ross Boland Podcast.